Folks, we're back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. If you want to call up, throw your two cents in on this. What do you think? Should we have any confidence in this system whatsoever? And wasn't Ed Brown right, even though he's going to be in jail until he dies? Okay. I mean, he knew what was coming. He walked out in the middle of the trial, called it a farce, and he called it for what it was. Because as Larry Klayman said, 70 to 80% of these people have been embedded in there like the cockroaches that they are, and they've been put in there by the Democratic left. Okay. We're in deep trouble, folks. I'm telling you. Well, let me get back to this. So Jesse Jackson used to, prior to his election as a congressman, he was affiliated with his father, and they were doing Operation Push, whatever that is. Jackson's wife, Sandy Jackson, served on the Chicago City Council. And the only reason I brought this up is because this is Obama's stomping ground, so I thought that was kind of interesting. Jackson served as a national co-chairman of the 2008 Barack Obama presidential campaign. Another little dot to connect there. And Jackson established a consistent liberal record on both social and fiscal issues. And he has co-authored books on civil rights and personal finance. Ah, civil rights. Okay, well, we know Obama doesn't like those. And personal finance. Well, Obama does like that. So in October 2012, Jackson was investigated for financial improprieties. Including the misuse of campaign funds, which seems to be tossed around in every campaign, doesn't it? And I think that had something to do, didn't it have something to do with that guy, what's his name, Rod Blagojevich, that's what it was. He went to jail, too. He was ousted as the mayor or the governor or something up there. Anyway, Jackson resigned from Congress on November 21st, 2012, citing mental and physical health problems, including bipolar disorder and gastrointestinal problems. On February 8th, 2013, Jackson admitted to violating federal campaign law by using campaign funds to make personal purchases. Jackson pleaded guilty on February 20th, 2013 to one count of wire and mail fraud, and on August 14th, 2013, he was sentenced to 30 months in federal prison. And of course, then we have his wife, Sandra Lee Jackson. Do you think that they came after these people, folks? Isn't it funny? You know, it's always something to do with campaign contributions. It brings me to Ron Brown, because Ron Brown had threatened the Clintons to expose them on the illegal campaign contributions. And we know what happened to Ron Brown. He wound up dying in a plane crash with a bullet in his head. Amazing, isn't it? Sandra Lee Jackson, Jesse Jr.'s wife, she was elected to the Chicago City Council as an alderman of the 7th Ward of the City of Chicago in the 2007 municipal elections held on February 27, 2007. She succeeded Darcell A. Beavers, who had been appointed by Chicago Mayor Richard M. Daley after the 2006 November elections, to succeed her father, William Beavers, Jackson's rival, as alderman of the 7th Ward. Jackson resigned from Chicago City Council effective January 15, 2013. And guess what, folks? On February 20th, 2013, Sandy Jackson, pleaded guilty to one count of filing false tax returns. On August 14, 2013, she was sentenced to 1 year in prison for filing false income tax returns. How interesting. She is the wife of former Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. and the daughter-in-law of Jesse Jackson. Her candidacy for the city council of the major city was part of national news stories in the New York Times and thoughts of her, running for a position in the United States House of Representatives were noted, in Time Magazine. Jackson had also been a longtime political consultant through her solely owned consulting firm, J. Donatella and Associates. Isn't that just marvelous? You know, and it takes you up there to, what's that other guy's name? That was Barack Obama's stomping grounds. And I remember back in 2000, it was during the campaign in 2008 where I had Larry Sinclair on my show. That's the guy that came on and alleged to have a homosexual affair with Barack Obama, and they smoked crack cocaine in the limousine. Remember that? And Larry had times, dates, places, documents. He had everything. He could tell you where the hotel was, what room they stayed in, the whole thing. Okay. And Barack Obama, you know, completely denied it. Yet, for some strange reason, on the 2 days in question, Barack Obama was mysteriously absent from the Senate floor on those 2 days. Isn't that just And then, what was shortly thereafter, that interview when I had Larry on my show, Larry holds a press conference. Now, this is back, I think it was about June, May, June of 2008. And Larry holds a press conference, and everybody shows up. CNN, NBC, MSNBC, all of them show up. And shortly thereafter, Larry's arrested. He's arrested for making alleged terrorist threats against the state of Delaware. How convenient. I don't even think Larry's ever been to Delaware. This is how absurd this whole thing gets, but this shows you how deep the tentacles run, folks. Because Larry gets arrested for alleged threats to the state of Delaware. The guy that files the complaint against Larry Sinclair is none other than the Attorney General of the state of Delaware, who was, guess who? Joe Biden's son, Bo Biden. And coincidentally, shortly after that, Barack Obama nominates Creepy Joe to the vice presidency. I mean, he makes him his vice presidency running mate. No coincidence there, right? And then you got this whole timeline of, what's his name, Rod Blagojevich, who, you know, they ousted him, too, for something stupid. And then you got this other shady, greasy character that has something to do with selling Barack Obama's house, that Tony Rezko guy. All of these creeps run in circles. And I don't mean to make a joke of it, but if I don't laugh, I'll cry. Anyway, phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. If I don't start getting phone calls, I'm going to jump into another topic that includes Hillary Clinton. So if you'd rather me talk about that, don't call me. I'll give you 5 seconds, and then I'm going to start talking about that. Let's see. What time is it here? 8:07. Okay. Well, let's see. Okay. Laura Silsby. Y'all remember her, right? That's the lady that went to jail for 6 months. She got time served because Bill Clinton ran down there and fixed it, you know, got her out of jail with his get out of jail free card. But she was convicted. Anyway, Laura Silsby's the lady that founded the New Life Children's Refuge. Remember that place? Okay. Isn't it funny how all of these people always hide behind some, you know, humanitarian thing, you know, the New Life Children's Refuge, or, you know, any of the child pedophilia, blah, blah, blah. If you get into a high public place, nobody would even question what you do. You know, Planned Parenthood, right? That's where you go if you want to have an abortion, but they don't say anything about the body parts that they're selling, you know? I mean, this stuff is rampant. It's just like tentacles running, permeating through this entire country and the world, for that matter. So Laura Silsby founded the New Life Children's Refuge and led the expedition in Haiti. And though she was freed after serving her sentence in Haiti, she also faced legal problems in Idaho. And back in early March of 2010, her attorneys in these cases filed a motion to withdraw as her counsel. And another lawyer who represented Silsby in a child custody case also withdrew as her attorney. I guess they both knew she was just too sleazy, huh? She faced civil lawsuits for fraud, wrongful termination, and unpaid wages, mostly related to a personal shopper and internet company that she founded in 1999 with James Hammonds. Silsby and Hammonds worked together at Hewlett-Packard. Now, she currently goes by her married name, Laura Gaylor. And get this, folks. Remember I said they hide behind these, you know, supposed good deed-doing places or humanitarian places? Laura Gaylor now works at AlertSense as their VP of marketing. Do you know what AlertSense is? AlertSense provides a platform for issuing Amber Alerts. You know, when you see the sign on the freeway that says so-and-so is missing? That's Laura Silsby that's putting that up there. Interesting. Okay. This includes Amber Alerts for abducted children. For example, in Arizona here, Prescott E! News reported, by broadcasting frequent public alert descriptions and other vital information in the crucial first hours after a child abduction. And I see those on the freeway all the time, folks. The Arizona Amber Alert can enlist large numbers of citizens in an effort to recover the child as soon as possible. Yeah, don't let Laura get her hands on her. Amber Alert notifications are supported by the AlertSense Amber Alert web-based system and the Emergency Alert System. Now, let's shift gears a little bit and go to this, and I don't usually talk about this, but I'm going to do it for a little bit. On an online blog, ZeroHedge.com did a great objective write-up explaining a scandal that Silsby was involved in, I guess, and it's highly recommended. So I'm going to read an abstract from Zero Hedge in the Clinton-Silsby trafficking scandal and how the media attempted to ignore it or cover it up. And here's the abstract. Contrary to reports in the media, the crowdsourced investigation labeled by some as Pizzagate did not begin with internet sleuths digging through the WikiLeaks Podesta files releases looking for pizza parlors and encoded language discussing human trafficking. It began with the shocking discovery that Hillary and Bill Clinton provided assistance to convicted child trafficker Laura Silsby, resulting in a reduced sentence for child trafficking. And that is true because Bill Clinton flew down there and got her off with time served. Let's take a break from this. I'll get back to it in a minute. But first, I'll go to Fred in Pennsylvania. Fred, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Okay. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Boy, you're covering huge area. I mean, I really appreciate that. I want to focus on the fact that when the Clintons took office in 93, Vince Foster wasn't the only aide to die around that time. I don't remember that much, but I'm pretty sure of that fact.
Well, Ron Brown was a victim, and he was in the administration. I would have to go in, Fred, and I'd have to pull up the death list and go in and read it. But yeah, right. I know there was a few of them.
But
I think they go after
the people that work for them that know how they operate. They go after them, either ruining those people or getting rid of them in some way, destroying.
Well, that's
them intimidating people all over the place.
Well, that seems to be their modus operandi, and I know that there was a number of bodyguards that have died mysteriously in helicopter crashes, and a couple of them died at Waco. They were shot by their own guys. I mean, and mm-hmm. both of them worked for Bill Clinton. I think what the deal is with those guys is they would chauffeur Bill Clinton around, and Bill Clinton would brag and tell stories about all the chicks he was banging, you know. And then later on, you know, Hillary would say, "What'd you do that for?" He says, "Oh my God, we better hit him and knock him out." So that's what they did. I don't know. I'm just speculating, but you know, it seems to be.
Well, but that's a healthy form. That's a healthy thing to speculate when you have people dying. I think it's only normal to speculate why people are dying.
I want
to move on to the. Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I want to move on to this Obama and Hillary Clinton dynamic where he really couldn't distance himself from her, even though he won the nomination. He knew that if he won the nomination, he was going to win the election under the circumstances of 2008. But once he had the nomination, he still felt like he couldn't get rid of her. He couldn't distance himself from her. Was even scared of her.
Well,
over that party for years.
Well, I agree with you, Fred, but I think he was compromised. I think she's got the goods on a heck of a lot of people up there, and I think that's why nobody will touch her. You know, I mean, what else could it be? You know,
what else could it be? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, here's a judge that turns around and flies in the face of judicial justice by ignoring evidence, burying it, not even talking about things that the public knows full well is true, and then just dismisses the case and doesn't even let a jury make a decision on it. I mean, come on, how outlandish is that?
Yeah, I didn't see any reason to dismiss this case.
There wasn't any.
I didn't see any reason that this judge behaved. I didn't see any justification for that.
Well, this judge will eventually likely be removed from the bench, I think, if justice has its way. I know that Larry Klayman is going to file an ethics complaint on her, which may not go nowhere. I don't know, because these cockroaches, you know, they protect each other. You know, it's like a flock of them. You know, it's like a flock of ants.
Well, federal judges can't be removed for their opinions that they issue.
No, but they can be removed for proof of a complaint. If they're doing if they violate their oath, they can be removed.
I want to be removed. I think you have to impeach a judge, a federal judge, though.
Well, I'm not sure
about
that.
I think she. Yeah. Okay. The biggest issue before the country is priorities, and corruption is possibly the number one priority. It certainly ties into every other priority. So, you know, keep informing us about corruption, because that is key.
Okay, will do. I'll keep doing it as long as I can do it, buddy. But speaking of that, and speaking of as long as I can do it, you just segued me into the fact that we're still doing a pledge drive. Yeah, and by the way, you want to add anything else before I let you go, Fred?
No, I'm done.
All right, thanks, man. Have a good night. We're still doing a pledge drive, folks. And, you know, evidently we're not doing real well because we're not collecting enough money to get the pressure off John. And I know I keep barking at this, and you folks, you know, the money trickles in, but it's not enough. I need to see some pressure come off of John so he can, you know, get some stuff done. You notice he wasn't on the air today. He's only going on the air, you know, 3 days a week, sometimes four, but he's got other stuff to do, and it takes money to do it, folks. So I'm going to ask you to pick up your phone once again and dial 800-724-2719, extension 3. Talk to my buddy Mike at the board there. Tell him it's because I'm barking at you. Make a donation. Even if it's $20, it doesn't matter. I don't care. You know, if you got an extra $100, give it, you know, pledge it to him. You can send cash, check, or money order to RBN at 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664, or simply go to the website and click on the PayPal where the little things in there where you can write a note that says, because Michael told me to, or Michael, you know, yelled at me or whatever, and make pledge, okay? Drop us $50, $100, you know, just like Fred said, and thank you, Fred, I appreciate that. How valuable is this information to you, folks? I keep churning it out there. Okay, and by the way, there's some other stuff looks like coming up on Seth Rich here. I did a couple clips today, and that's an ongoing thing. There's a lot of people out there that are digging into this. You know that the reward on that is up to, I think it's up to almost $250,000. So the pressure's being put on these people, both from the reporting on from the private sector, like me and others, and also in the financial sector, that people are really wanting to see it into this, okay, really wanting to see whoever's behind this exposed. So again, pick up the phone, 800-724-2719. Make a donation, folks. It's easy to do. It's not going to take food off your table. Okay, let me get back to this. Yes. So Bill Clinton intervenes in this and gets Laura Silsby off with a reduced sentence and time served for child trafficking. And Silsby was arrested at the Haitian border attempting to smuggle 33 children out of Haiti without documentation. Her sentence and charges were reduced after an intervention by Bill Clinton in the aftermath of Silsby's arrest. She had originally obtained a lawyer, Jorge Puello, and he was arrested in connection with an international smuggling ring accused of trafficking women and minors from Central America and Haiti. The revelation of this news in November was either ignored by the Western media, you didn't hear anything about this in mainstream media, or it was attacked by Clinton-controlled publications. So in her attempt, Laura was caught and faced charges for trying to abduct these 33 children, most of whom were not even orphans, and had families. Silsby had claimed she originally planned to build an orphanage in the Dominican Republic, but the authorities in the country said she never submitted an application for that purpose. Silsby's organization instead located to Haiti after the earthquake in February of 2010. Her connections to the Clintons, which go back as far as 2001, folks, may have influenced the outcome. No, may have. It did, because Bill flew down there. 3 days after the arrival of Bill Clinton to Haiti following the earthquake, all of the charges of kidnapping were dropped against Ms. Silsby. So let's just take a look at Silsby's connection to Hillary. Uma Abedin was constantly forwarding Hillary articles on Silsby's organization and its status leading up to the event. That's interesting. I'll get into a little bit more of this when we get back, folks, going to break. Stick around. Be back in three. See you on the other side.
The new word on the street is bloated. Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide. Foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them, and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no, no, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word, bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Getting back to this, just three weeks after the earthquake in February 10, and just days after Laura Silsby and the New Life Children's Refuge missionaries were arrested, Bill Clinton shows up. And within 1 month, he manages to convince the Haitian government that there had been no wrongdoing, and the charges were dropped from kidnapping to irregular air travel. And all the missionaries were immediately freed, aside from Silsby, who then served 4 months in a Haitian jail. But she was ultimately freed for time served. And Jorge Puello, the attorney who represented Laura Silsby, was himself convicted as a child trafficker. An email in WikiLeaks was uncovered from the State Department describing the cost to transport children, which included religious rhetoric. Remember how they hide behind something really, really altruistic, right, and humanitarian? Email said, "For God to guide us to the children, he wants us to bring the NLCR and for their physical, emotional, and spiritual healing." And then, of course, we have Cheryl Mills, the close attorney to the Clintons, and she was intimately involved in the press releases surrounding the United States' portrayal of Silsby's arrest. Silsby and the New Life Children's Refuge came up many times in the Clinton emails, in fact, and Hillary Clinton also contacted a lawyer regarding the 10 people who were arrested for their roles in the New Life Children's Refuge kidnapping case. So, get this one. The connection to Max McCobe and James, are you ready for this? James Achilles Alefantis. You know that guy that owns that pizza parlor up there? Huh? James Alefantis is friends with Michael McCobe. Now, Michael's son, Max McCobe, is a director of the Friends of the Orphans, the charity Laura Silsby was given children from while in Haiti. What a convenient, what a coincidence, huh? Isn't that convenient? This same Max McCobie, also Representative James Achilles Elefantis, and David Brock. Remember that name? Oh, that's right. Brad Bauman is, he's got a foundation of which David Brock is a CEO. Something along those lines. I just reported on that the other day. See how the cockroaches all run in the same little mix? You know, back when I was in Mesa, I lived in Mesa for a short time with my daughter years ago. And my daughter's then boyfriend lived with us, and you know, we didn't know it at the time, but there were fire ants in the backyard. You know, fire ants bite, for any of you who don't know that. And so her boyfriend and I decided that we were going to put some honey on this little boat, right, and then get all the fire ants to go eat the honey on the boat, and then put the boat out in the middle of the pool and sink it. That way we'd kill the fire ants. But you know what happened, folks? To our shock and amazement, the fire ants all swam together, rolled themselves, and I'm not kidding you, this is what they do. They rolled themselves up in a ball, and they rolled themselves to shore. Okay? That reminds me of these people. Because, you know, the same Max McCobie represented James Elefantis and David Brock for an $850,000 blackmail case. Oh, my. This gets more sickening by the minute. The more I dig into this, folks, the more I'm astonished, because I do these shows, you know, a week, two, three ago or four ago, and the same names keep popping up, you know. I mean, go down a quick timeline here. July of 2009, Laura Silsby and Charissa Coulter visit the Dominican Republic and inquired about property in the northwestern village of Gaspar Hernandez, a known pedophile area. November of 2009, Bill Clinton was scheduled to visit somebody at the NPH orphanage in Haiti, Friends of the Orphans, which is eventually revealed to be an orphanage that Laura Silsby was given children from. Interesting. December 7th, 2009, Laura Silsby's $358,500 house gets foreclosed on by the bank. December 26, 2009, a group of unknown American visitors visit the Friend of the Orphans in Petionville. During late December, Laura Silsby and Charissa Coulter visited Haiti for a week to visit some orphanages. January 8th of 2010, Laura Silsby registered the New Life Children's Refuge at the Dominican Republic. January 12th, the 7.3 magnitude earthquake hits the 10 miles southwest of Port-au-Prince. So the Friends of the Orphans building in Petionville, it collapses, and the four volunteers, including the orphanage volunteer Molly Hightower, die. The next day, Jennifer Reno, the director of the Friends of the Orphan, underreports that all 350 children in St. Helene's orphanage are safe. Okay, well, the problem with that is the official reports show that it originally housed 450 children, not 350, indicating an unexplained disappearance of 100 children. Coincidentally, this number matches Laura Silsby's documented mission statement to collect 100 orphans. What a coincidence. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. The day after the earthquake, Jennifer Reno underreports that all 350 children at the St. Helens Orphanage are safe. Official reports show that originally it housed 450, indicating an unexplained disappearance of 100 children. Coincidentally, this number matches Laura Silsby's document admission statement to collect 100 orphans. So January 15th, 2 days later, the body of volunteer Molly Hightower, which we might have to add to the list, I don't know, was recovered from the F.R. Wasson Center in Pettyenville. A week later, New Life's Children Refuge team flies to the Dominican Republic. The next day, the team takes a bus from Santo Domingo to Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And on the 24th of January, Laura Silsby meets Ms. Diadeschi at Lino Hotel in Santo Domingo and dismisses warnings about the need of documentation for these children to cross. January 26th, a director at Friends of the Orphans meets Laura Silsby at the collapsed Fort Wasson Center in Pettyenville and loads 40 orphans onto a bus. A concerned citizen catches them in the act and reports to a police officer who stops them and orders the children to get off the bus. And afterwards, he directs Laura Silsby to the Dominican Embassy. Let's see. The Dominican Republic consul in Haiti warns Laura Silsby that without necessary documentation, her actions would be considered child trafficking. So the next day, Laura Silsby visits the Wanimanth and meets with Pastor John Sayenville to discuss the next plan. The next day, John Sayenville approaches villages and gets this, folks, convinces parents to hand over their children. January 29th, Laura Silsby and missionaries were arrested for trying to take 33 children out of Haiti. January 30th, Pastor Jean Sayenville hears of Laura Silsby's arrest and leaves the country. February 2010, Hillary Clinton and her staff work with the media on a press release regarding the New Life Children's Refuge, and New Life Children's Refuge is brought up several times in the Clinton emails in WikiLeaks. February 5th, Bill Clinton flies to Port-au-Prince for the second time since the earthquake to negotiate a solution. February 7th, 2010, and I quote, "And I was just amazed to see she was down in Haiti saying she was trying to save orphans. She never struck me as the do-gooder type," says her neighbor, Chris Winsell. March 2010, her attorney in these cases filed a motion to withdraw her as counsel. And 2015, Silsby married and took the last name of Gaylor. So, let's see. Feet in a circle. Okay, so that's that part. So we've got that. Then, let's see. Well, we've got, okay, Hillary Clinton convened on behalf of her. I'm going through this real quick here. Silsby's lawyer and his wife were both arrested for involvement in human sex trafficking to minors and women. On February 11th, the New York Times reported that Silsby's original lawyer, Jorge Puello, was suspected of leading an international human trafficking ring involving women and minors, according to the Harvard Human Rights Journal. Puello was ultimately arrested in an investigation being led by the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Homeland Security investigation in connection with the ring. He was wanted in the United States, El Salvador, and Costa Rica for his involvement with a network of trafficking in the Central Americas and with the Haitians. At the time of his arrest, his wife was already imprisoned in El Salvador and faced charges of presumed sexual exploitation of minors and women. Puello was ultimately sentenced to 3 years in federal prison for alien smuggling, another surprisingly light sentence given the original charges he was sought for. It is not known at the time whether or not Laura Silsby was associated with Puello's criminal enterprise. But I'll tell you what, folks, you know, when you start connecting the dots here and all these same names keep showing up in different places at different times in different activities, you start saying, you know what, these people are all in the club. They're all back slapping buddies in a number of different very illicit clubs. Last year on November 3rd, there was a post to Reddit containing preliminary research and information on the above story of the illicit cover-up operation. And the post was made to the pro-Trump subreddit due to the forum's reputation as the only outlet on Reddit where news was not being censored during the U.S. presidential election. The same day, WikiLeaks tweeted a link to the Reddit post, labeling it as a significant partisan find. So on November 4th, the Daily Beast wrote a non-factual and intentionally misleading article covering the Clinton-Silsby scandal. They accused WikiLeaks of publicizing a Reddit conspiracy theory, which was riddled with incorrect information. And all of us out there that have ever had any dealings with WikiLeaks, at least I can speak for myself, I have never seen them ever not do something they said they were going to do and give us information that has been obviously proven correct on many different occasions. The author, Ben Collins, this author that wrote this article, neglected to do basic research on the totality of the links presented in the post as evidence. Collins attacked the policy on freedom of speech and accused the forum of being racist without citing any extensive or definitive proof, and at no point did the Daily Beast provide proof that the allegations were not true and did not disprove any of the evidence submitted. A link to the extensive study of the case by the Harvard Human Rights Journal, which clearly linked Bill Clinton to the scandal, was totally ignored. They similarly failed to acknowledge or address any emails published by WikiLeaks between Hillary Clinton and her legal counsel, which may potentially indicate that she violated State Department policy for the treatment of U.S. citizens arrested or detained abroad. The Daily Beast is a holding of the American media conglomerate Interactive Court. Corp. Chelsea Clinton, vice president of the Clinton Foundation and daughter of Hillary and Bill Clinton, sits on Interactive Corp's board of directors. What a coincidence. The proximity of the Clinton family to the organization responsible for oversight and direction of the Daily Beast raises questions about the publication's journalistic independence. You think? And their commitment to factual and ethical reporting on current events and topics of public interest. Given their slanderous and incorrect reporting on the Clinton-Silsby scandal, it seems clear that they do not hold these values in very high regard. And since her release from detention in Haiti, Silsby has returned to Idaho. And as I said, in 2015, she married and took the last name Gaylor, and now she's working for the company that does the Amber Alerts. I'm sure they're all over the country. I know I see them in the signs in Arizona all the time. But then we get into who is Laura Silsby and why is she now working at AlertSense, which provides technology for Amber Alerts and FEMA emergency response systems under the name Laura Gaylor. Why does it matter? And what is the connection to Clinton? Well, we know that she was made famous for that whole deal about, you know, the kidnapping of the children. But, you know, let's see, connections to Clinton with Uma Abedin. I'm just kind of scanning through this. I don't want to bore you with it, folks. But Hillary has a Clinton, or Hillary has a connection to Silsby that goes back to 2001. So that's 16 years these two people have known one another, okay? And they have been evidently working together. And the dots that you connect here with all these players, including Alifantis and Puello and Bill Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein and his jet, just a whole long list of things, you know, lead a prominent investigator to have a strong suspicion that they are up to their eyeballs in child trafficking. And I heard another horror story the other day, which I'll share with you. And it revolves around Jeffrey Epstein's island down there in the Caribbean. You know, that's the guy that was convicted. He's one of Clinton's buddies that Clinton has been documented being on the jet from the FAA flight records at least 29 times going down to this Lolita's Island or wherever it is. But I've heard a very disturbing tale that some of these young girls and boys that they take down there, after they've had their way and they use them up, they hunt them. Now, I don't know how true that is, but that's another story I'm going to start digging into later on. Let's see. Okay, we know that. And the attorney who represented Laura Silsby, that's Puello. I'm just going through this because a lot of this is the same stuff that I just reported to you. Okay, so that's that. All right, I'm going to get off that topic, folks, and I'm going to go to one of my, I don't want to call it my favorite story, but something that I'm really looking deep into here, and I'm keeping a close eye on this. There was another report that came out that I just read tonight that evidently it's possible that Seth Rich had two girlfriends, because Bill Stills, who's an investigator, he's a reporter, did a piece tonight that he got an email from this alleged an email from an alleged girlfriend by the name of Claudia Cash, not the same girlfriend that Seth Rich was, you know, that originally came out and made a statement. This is another one. So it's entirely possible Seth Rich could have had two girlfriends. She's reporting that she knows why Seth Rich was killed, and the reason that he was killed is because evidently there was two voting exchanges set up. One website for Hillary supporters, one website for Bernie Sanders supporters, and if I'm clear on this, one didn't know about the other, or Hillary wasn't telling him about it, and ultimately he found out about it because when he went to vote for Bernie Sanders, he found out that he was a week late in voting, and he found out what was going on and just hit the roof, went into the DNC, and went off on Donna Brazile, which would make sense about the reports coming in that him and Donna Brazile were having problems. That came from Rod Wheeler, the private detective. But the latest, and it's on RBN's website, OAN, which I don't know what that stands for, but I know John Stapmiller watches that back there in Austin. It's a news network. They're offering $100,000 for information on the Seth Rich murder. The total reward now is up to $245,000. Now, again, as I mentioned earlier in the program, that puts us in a position of not only having the heat on them from the alternative media, but also there's heat being put on them financially as well. And as this goes on, I think that the that number is going to grow exponentially, folks. The longer this goes on, I think the higher it's going to get, because a lot of people want to see justice done in this matter. Let's see. Well, this goes on to a lot of the same stuff I reported for before, but yes, the it says ON is offered $100,000 reward for the information. You put that on Seth Rich's, not Seth Rich's, but Julian Assange's reward, and then also there's a couple of other people that have kicked in, and this report says that OAN offered $250,000, but that can't be verified. So, Occam's razor, at what point does one coincidence or 100 add up to something approaching the truth? And that's a good point, because as I said before, you know, one mysterious death, you know, or excuse me, two mysterious deaths, maybe three, a coincidence. But when you start building it up to where it comes up to 6 or 10 or 15 or 20, and what I've got here of 119, that's no coincidence. And there have been, in the last 12 months, actually I believe it's 11 months, there has been six people that have mysteriously died that have been related to this story. There was Julian Assange's attorney, who mysteriously, supposedly jumped in front of a train. There was Gavin McFadden, a reporter for him, who supposedly died of cancer. I'm not sure about that. That's the report, but, you know, you never know. Then you've got, what's his name, Victor Thorne. You've got John Ash, the former president of the UN Security Council or whatever it was. Then you've got Seth Rich, and you've got Sean Lucas. So those are six people that have died just in the past year that have been affiliated with this. You tell me, folks, is that a coincidence? How many coincidences have to keep piling up before we start scratching our head and going, no, this isn't a coincidence? Okay, there's something more serious going on here. But you shift gears, and you go from that, and you go into this latest, which I reported on First Hour, of this case being not decided by a jury, not even decided by a judge. Well, it was decided, but it was thrown out by the judge. It never even got to a jury verdict of yes or no. Was there culpability? Was there not? Because this judge, the fixer, went in there, wrote a 29-page brief on it, and threw the case out. Now, they're hiding Seth Rich. They're burying it as far as they can bury it. They're stacking the deck and letting Hillary off the hook on all of this, yet they're appointing Robert Mueller as the counsel, the Senate, you know, head of the Senate committee, on a completely nothing story about Russian hacking. So where are we going to go with this? Okay, what's going to happen with this? What's going on in the Trump administration right now? I haven't taken too good a look at it lately because I've been totally buried in doing research on some of this other stuff. But I heard a little snippet the other day, maybe you guys can help me out with this, of Jared Kushner is now kind of being held under a microscope with Donald Trump. And I don't know what that story is. If somebody can help me out with that, that's great. I might take a look at it tomorrow or the next day. But in the meantime, you know, in your mind, folks, do you think that we're going to get any, you know, satisfaction of a swamp being drained that is this infested? That's one thing. Number two, okay, do you think that Donald Trump has been tipped off by somebody behind the scenes saying, you know, I'm sure he knows about this Seth Rich thing, saying that you need not touch this because if you do, it's going to literally bring down the government? Now, this case that was decided on Friday with this judge that threw this out, that completely undermines the confidence in anybody that has any two brain cells to rub together about the integrity of our judicial system. Now, if we don't have any integrity in our judicial system, and our legislative system is full of, you know, criminals, then the question is, what have we got? Now, I listened to John Stadtmiller's show today, and I have to give out credit to, Keith Rogers, the guy that did his show today, did an excellent job on that show today. That's the first time I'd heard him, and I guess he's got a new show on the network. So I listened to pretty much all of his show today, and he was, you know, talking about this and that and the other thing. But one thing he touched on that I have to agree with is that they are literally causing us to lose complete sight and touch with who we are as a culture. And I had touched base about that, last week when I was talking about them starting to take the statues, you know, statues that are reminders of our past and who we are as a culture, and eliminating those. Why are they doing that, folks? Mike, is there a break coming up, Mike? Let me take a break because I've got to use the boys' room. Anyway, folks, going to take the final break. I'll be back with a few closing thoughts here after the break. I've got to visit the little boys' room, so we'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to, so I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite. All right, we're back. Final segment, folks. As I was saying before the break, I had to make a quick trip to the restroom, folks, so sorry about that. But anyway, when I was listening to John's show today and he was taking over, or Keith was taking over, he was talking about this, and I thought about that, and I thought, you know, as we look around and we see what's happening, not only with them slowly taking these statues out, but also the unraveling and the sense of, you know, the younger generation not even knowing who they are. They, most of them can't even talk directly to one another. They use a text, you know, or they're on their computers or whatever. We are starting to see, folks, that as a country, we are losing the sense of who we are as a nation, and they're doing this by design. They're also doing the Hegelian dialectic of dividing and conquering. You know, even, 10 years ago, you know, we all got along fine, whether it was Christian, Jews, Muslims, whatever it was. We didn't see any of this stuff happening. Now it's all happening. Now it's being pointed out. The political correctness has gotten to the point where people are actually afraid to talk to one another. And I'm guilty of that as well. This little visitor that I had here over the weekend, you know, she asked me, she says, do you go out much? I said, no, I'm pretty much a recluse. Most of you folks know that. But the reason I am is because my entire environment has changed. I used to go out to public events. I used to go out to singles groups and so forth. I don't even do that anymore because I'm bored with a regular conversation. It's so easy for me to have a conversation, whether in person or over the airwaves, with any of you guys out there as listeners, because you're all awakened. You all know what is going on. But if you go out and get into a social environment with regular society, and you start talking about any of the things that we talk about, you lose them. Not only do you lose them, they think we wear a tinfoil hat on our head. So if you're bored, I get bored with, but if you're comfortable with listening to somebody talk about, you know, the football scores or the garden in their backyard or whatever, you know, mundane subjects that really bore me quickly, then that's the place to go. But if you start touching on anything of any significance or politics or anything like that, that affects us all, affects those people, and they don't even know it, then you may have a problem. Okay, I do. I heard a caller that called into John's show the other day that got kicked out of a barbecue. just going in trying to talk about stuff that we talk about. So it's going on, folks. Anyway, before we get off the program, I want to let you know what's coming up tomorrow night. I'm going to talk about Alan Dulles, who used to be head of the FBI under the Kennedy administration. That's Wednesday night. And then I'm going to share that story with you about the pleasurable event I had, the pleasure I had in meeting an actual former intelligence Army soldier that was had an MK Ultra experiment conducted on him in 1954, which is when they first started that. And then on June 1st, which is what, Friday night, I'm going to be talking about Donald Trump and his road leading up to the presidency, and it's been talked about for many, many years. Matter of fact, he made an appearance on the Oprah Winfrey Show way back in 1988. And I'm going to play that clip for you and kind of give you a little bit of surrounding events that make a person go, were they grooming him all along? You know, these are things that I ask myself. I look at this stuff, all the dots start connecting. I do these shows, same names keep popping up, folks, different times, different places, different events, you know. And it makes you start scratching your head and go, wait a minute, George Carlin was right. It's a big club. And we ain't in it. So with that, hey, by the way, pick up the phone, 800-724-2719, extension 3. Make a donation to Mike, okay? Go to the website, hit your button, hit the donate button. Drop in $100, $50, $20, whatever you can afford, folks. RBN needs the money. We are in sore need of equipment. We really need to get some new equipment, folks. So please do that. Good night for now. See you same time, same station tomorrow night. Have a good one. I'm out of here.
For me to figure out, I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice, I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.